Anne Franklin said, "Look, how a single candle can both defy and define the darkness. Light covers everything that it touches. It breaks the dark. It shines. And without it, we are blind. Literally. It's only when light enters our eye that we are able to see. And we as a people who live in darkness need a great light. So it's no wonder then that out of all the things he could have chosen to create first, God chose to create the light. And years later, a light would be born. A light that would love and change and shape all of humanity. A light that would be broken for our sins. He would change everything that he touched. He would illuminate the truth, captivate our attention, and give us hope for tomorrow. And because of this, he was called the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And because of this light, the broken are free. Sin is forgiven. The hurting have hope. He is the light of the world. And we are his messengers. Look how a single candle can both defy and define the darkness. Even the smallest light can make a difference. So will you share that light? The Bible says that the light shines in the darkness and the world has not overcome it. And Jesus reminds us to let our light shine before others so that they can know God. So will you defy and define the darkness? Or will you choose to just exist?
Say, let it shine for me. Come on, let it shine. All right. You know, honestly, I am not a big fan of news. I don't like watching the news because the news is always full of bad stories. Courtney likes to watch it for the weather, and I completely understand that. She's very enamored with the weather and what's happening around us. But it's true. But I just am not a big fan of the weather. Now, one thing I do like, my favorite stories when it comes to the news, is that of a hero. You know, some little kid whose mom, you know, passes out and he finds his way to the phone. He calls the police and gets him there and he's considered this hero, or maybe an off-duty police officer who, you know, helps a family in need. I love seeing those kinds of stories in the news where someone stepped in and became the hero in a moment. And I think of a story that I heard just a few years back, and this was of a gentleman named Kevin Haslett, who was a firefighter. And on this particular New Year's Day, he's off duty. He's just driving to Dunkin' Donuts with his kids, taking them to get some breakfast, and he comes up on the scene of an accident. A woman has lost control of her car, and she hit a tree, and she is seemingly unconscious in the car. And Kevin stops his car, jumps out, and runs over. He gets through the car window and able to get access to her and realizes she's not breathing because the way she's laying, her airways were cut off. And he's able to lift her head. He's able to clear her airways and get her breathing again and keeping her alive until the paramedics came. Now, I love the interview that Kevin did when the news reporter showed up and they wanted to call him a hero and they wanted to bring attention to him. He felt very uncomfortable being called a hero. He said anybody would have done what I did in that situation. But his response, and I quote him directly when I say this, he said, "It's just what I do." He was a firefighter. That was his vocation. That was his life. But it was every day of his life. It wasn't just when he was on duty. It was what he did all the time. Kevin acted as if his response was normal. Even though he was not on duty, he could have said, you know what, somebody else will come along and help him. He could have said, you know, I'll make the phone call. I'll get somebody on the way, but I'm with my kids. No, he sprang into action because he knew he had something to offer the situation. He had something that was needed. He knew what to do in the moment. And for Kevin, being a firefighter or an EMT was not only his vocation, it was what he does. Too much is given, much is required. Now I want you to think about that. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says this. It says, but the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much will be asked. Here's the thing to understand today. We have been given much. Can you say amen to that? Just in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, just to understand that we have been forgiven, we have been given much. Ignore the material things. Ignore the idea of what we have, how we live based on how other people in the world live. Yes, we are blessed. But just on the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he's done in our hearts, we have been given much. And I think about the last 5 weeks, these forgotten virtues we talked about. Honor, purity, loyalty, gratitude, integrity. Those virtues alone will only make you a good person. Now, we want to be good people. We want to think that other people respect us, honor us, see us as a good person, a person of integrity. But those things alone only make you a good person. But those things combined with an experience from God in a supernatural way will allow you the opportunity to shine the light. This morning, we are wanting to encourage all of us, not all of you, all of us, to be the light. To be the light that God wants us to be in a dark world. It's interesting that God chooses to reveal himself in the context of light. John chapter 1, verse 4 says, in him, meaning Jesus, was life. And that light was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because he chooses to reveal himself in light, we, knowing about that light, knowing about salvation, knowing about God, and what Jesus did for each one of us, are to be bearers of that light. We are to be the light. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 and 15 says this, you are the light of the world. Can you say that with me? Say, you are the light of the world. Say it again. You are the light of the world. You're a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I love the last line of that. That they may see your good deeds. But it's not your good deeds in order to bring attention to you. It's not so people will go, wow, what a great person. They see your good deeds in order to glorify your Father in heaven. And based on what this is telling us, we are responsible. Because of the knowledge that we have, we are responsible for being this light. There is no greater contrast than light and darkness. Think about it. You ever walk into a room, you've been out in the sun, and you go into a dark room, and all of a sudden you're just like, whoa, you've got to get your eyes adjusted because there's such a huge difference. Or in the middle of the night, and you're trying to file your way through the house, and finally you find a light switch, and when it comes on, you're like, you know, blinded by the light. There's huge contrast between light and darkness. And in the same way, there is a huge contrast between those who know Jesus and those who don't. It's not that we're better than them. We just have the knowledge of Jesus, and it is up to us to share that light with others. Our scripture said, it makes no sense to light a light and put it under a bowl. in order for it to be at its greatest potential, it has to be in the right location. Think about that. We don't light it behind a bush. We don't hide it under a bushel. We don't hide it under a bowl. We have to have it in the middle of the room to let it shine before others. Location is everything. Now, here's the interesting thing. You can let your shine in here, and boy, is it bright. Because we've all have the light. We all know what it is that Jesus saved us. So we're shining really bright in here. But what about when we're in the midst of darkness? What about when we're the only one with the light? And we're afraid, man, if I shine this light, are they going to think I'm weird? It's going to bring attention to me. What are they going to think about me if I'm trying to shine the light? Does that freak you out today? The idea that you could be like this candle was just a moment ago, shining in the darkness, the only light. Imagine the difference you could make in a world that is dark if you're willing to let your light shine. You see, this was not a request from God. He didn't say, hey, do you mind turning your light on for just a minute so maybe somebody in the room can see it? No, it's a command. He commanded us to shine our light, to let your light shine. Just as the EMT said, it's what we do. It's who we are. Now, I remember last year, you know how like students go through fads and, you know, certain clothes are in style. I mean, we can all pull back your old high school pictures and we'll see what was in style at that time. But last year, students got into this idea of bottle flipping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh my goodness, the bottle flipping. The coolest thing in the world. And the whole goal was to find something, let's say I'm going to land it right here on the floor, is to make it land standing up, which is very hard to do. You can't have too much liquid. You got to know just how to flip it in order for it to land on the bottom. Obviously, I'm not very good at this. Trust me, I didn't expect to get it. I so appreciate, that was a God thing right there, because I appreciate your response because it's perfect. The whole idea is you're just anticipating that landing just right, and when it finally does, everybody erupts in applause because it's so rare that that happens. Here's my point. When we share the love of Jesus with someone else, we're so surprised. We're so excited because it's such a rare thing. But shouldn't it just be what we do? Shouldn't it just be every day of our life letting our light shine, that it's not so rare that when it happens, we're like, I got to share the love of Jesus with somebody. It's just what we do. It's who we are. We are to be that light every single day, everywhere we go, in everything we do. And it doesn't have to be rare. Now, don't get me wrong. We're rejoicing when we get to share the love of Jesus with someone, especially if they accept Jesus into their heart. The Bible says the angels in heaven are rejoicing. We should too. So it's not that we make light of the fact that we got to share the gospel. But on our end, we shouldn't be walking around going, woo, we got to share the gospel. That's great. But it should just be what we do. Here's the problem. We sang this verse, won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. We have this opposing force that does not want us to shine. Not only that, he wants us to remain dark. Beyond that, he wants us to remain in the darkness. He doesn't even want us to know what it is to have the light. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15 says this, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. What that's saying is Satan is out to give us just a hint of truth. He wants to just give us enough truth to pique our interest before we begin to believe what he's saying, and then he perverts it into a lie. And before long, we're believing that. Because it did have a hint of truth in it. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. I've got three or four examples here. Have you ever heard anyone say this? Think about this. Well, I want to be the light. I want to spread the gospel. But if I commit to God's plan and I serve Him, bad things are going to start happening. You ever hear somebody say that? If I do what God wants me to do, then it's kind of the Job effect. We talked about Job last week. And we think because we're serving God, bad things are going to begin to happen to us. That is nothing but a lie from the devil, because the reality is bad things are going to happen anyway. Am I right? I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not a Debbie Downer here. I'm just trying to tell you that bad things happen no matter what. So why not, knowing that, why not spread the light along the way in order to let people see? Bad things happen in my life, but it doesn't affect me. It doesn't hurt me because I got the power of Jesus in my life. I got the blood of Jesus pouring over me. And because of that, I can take on the bad things. I can handle it because God is on my side. And you let your light shine in those moments. Another lie is we feel unworthy or inadequate enough to allow our light to shine. We've told ourselves that little hint of truth in that, that we're not worthy, that we're inadequate. There is a hint of truth, because here's the truth be told. None of us are worthy, are we? None of us. But because of Jesus Christ and what He did for each one of us, we now are worthy. And it doesn't matter if you got saved 2 minutes ago or 15 years ago. You can share the love of Jesus. You can spread the light. Can you say amen to that? Another lie that we like to tell is you have to let people find their own way. Really? Is that how you got here? Did someone not help you? Did someone not shed a little light your way in order for you to find Jesus? I know that people in my life did. So don't let yourself believe that you just got to let someone find their own way. You have something to offer the situation, just like the EMT. You have something you can bring to any situation to spread some light on the subject. But you got to believe that and quit listening to the lies of the devil. Will you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13? Acts chapter 13. We're going to read verse 47. I call this a linking scripture. What I mean is, it's Luke quoting the Old Testament book of Isaiah. So he's quoting something that's been said before. And to give you a little context about Luke, let me share some things about him before we read this scripture, because it makes so much more sense when you understand Luke in the situation. Luke was a Gentile. He was the only non-Jewish author of any book in the Bible. And until this point, Gentiles had learned about Jesus only through teachings. They didn't have books to read. And Luke took it upon himself to do a little research and give a detailed account of Jesus' life. He had a totally different perspective than the other gospel writers like Matthew, Mark, and John. Matthew even referred to Jesus as the King of the Jews. However, Luke, from the very beginning, he has the angel singing peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Luke said people were going to come from the north, south, east, and the west. He had a worldwide vision. And he didn't just say Jesus was Savior of the Jews. He said Jesus was Savior of the world. So it didn't matter if you were rich, poor, Jew, or Gentile. Now look at Acts chapter 13. Verse 47, this is what the Lord has commanded us. There it is. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, could you take a little time on the side to do this? It is commanded. I have made you a light for the Gentiles. That means everyone. That you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That is our goal. To be the light to everyone. God has made you light. And you got to let it shine. Are we going to let Satan blow it out? Are we going to let Satan blow it out? No, we're going to let it shine. That is what we are called to do, to let it shine.
Well, this morning, I want to start by sharing something that's just a little disheartening. You can kind of see some graphics on the back of your bulletin if you want to look there. But the average believer feels like they don't know how to communicate the gospel or the good news of Jesus Christ. The average believer will not tell somebody what they believe because they don't feel like they know how. And a study conducted by Lifeway Research found that 80% of people who attend church do feel like it's their responsibility to tell other people about Christ. But only 61% have actually done that in the last 6 months. You know, I think it's really important for us to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. And so, you know, if you're here and you're like, you know, I really don't know all the basics or all the facts, and I would like to, Chad and I would love to help you sit down and really just kind of cement that for you and help you understand why you believe what you believe. And there are awesome tools that we can use to help people understand the message of Christ. You know, some people use the Romans Road, all of the verses in Romans that just lay out the whole plan of God. Some people use specific illustrations that can help others understand. Those are all great. But there's also something really effective about just telling somebody your testimony. Just telling somebody how God has changed you. You can argue theology all day long, but it's very difficult for someone to argue when you say, I have peace and I didn't have peace before. I have hope and I didn't have hope before. I was a mess and God came in and he changed me. Your testimony is powerful. And when I look in the Bible, I don't see people who felt like, you know, they had to go to school and get all of this schooling before they could share the message. Or people who said, well, I have to be a pastor before I can do that. Or that's their job. I'm just here. You know, that's not how people felt about those things. In fact, they just went and began to tell people how they were changed. That's just what they did. It came naturally for them. When I think about a good example of that, the first person that springs to my mind is the story in John 4 of the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman that Jesus met, he sits down with her at the well and he has this conversation with her and it's life changing for her. Nobody else would give her the time of day and Jesus sits down and tells her everything that she's ever done and gives her hope for the future. And the very first thing she does is get up and go tell everybody else what God has done for her. You don't have to turn there, but in John 4:29, she says, come. See a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Hey guys, this guy's amazing. I think I found the guy we're looking for. And later in verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, Jesus, because of the woman's testimony. And because of his words, many more became believers. Here we have a woman who wasn't educated. She didn't have formal schooling. She wasn't really considered worthy by society standards. Most people just kind of looked the other way when it came to her. She was an outcast. She definitely did not have her life together. You can see that by the conversation that Jesus has with her and what's going on. She didn't have all of her ducks in a row. Her ducks weren't even close to her. She didn't have it all together. And she had only been a believer about 2 minutes longer than they had. And yet she wasn't afraid to share. And because of her, many more lives were saved. Because of her, many in that town found Jesus. And sometimes I wonder if that is why Jesus stopped to have a conversation with someone who really seemed inconsequential, with a person that it just didn't seem to fit. He stopped and took the time for her. Yes, for her, but maybe because he also knew she would be bold enough to tell others. You know, like Chad said, so many times we're uncomfortable sharing about God. We're just a little bit nervous. We're concerned about what people would think. When we're teenagers, you know, we tell them, oh, don't fall into peer pressure. It's just peer pressure. But when we're adults, it's like, well, I'm just too mature and I'm worried about what others will think. But it's weird, right? Because if we go to a new restaurant and we love it, what's the first thing we do? We usually go tell our friends, right? And we say, this is awesome. You got to try it. Do you want to go with us next Friday night? We'll even invite them, right? Or if we go see a movie and we love the movie. We might throw it up on social media. Checked in at the theater. I'm seeing this movie. It's wonderful. We have no problem articulating to somebody why they should try this restaurant or why they should go to this movie. But when it's the most important thing in our lives, when it's the thing that's actually changed us and given us hope when nothing else would, we step back because we don't want to offend anybody, right? If you're here today, you need to know that God has chosen you. You're hearing this for a reason, and that is because you are the plan for spreading the message. It's very easy for us to forget sometimes, but this is not our home. We are just passing through on our way to eternity. If you're here and you believe in God and you believe in Jesus Christ, then you believe in eternity. And the truth is, it's eternity for everybody. It's just if you're going to be spending it with or without God. And when we can really begin to remember that, to shift our focus just a little bit, then maybe on Monday morning when we walk into our job, it's not just a job. Maybe on Monday morning when we see our coworkers, they're not just our coworkers or our friends or the people who drive us crazy. They're souls. They're hearts and souls in need of God. They're people that are facing eternity. Students, when you step foot into the school this week, you have not just walked into school. You have walked into a mission field. And the people who are in the hallways with you are not just other students. Let's see them as hearts and souls in need of God. When you are at Dewey School or Field or Central or the middle school, there are people there who need you to be a light. There are teachers there, and yes, they are older than you, but that does not mean that they have their lives all together, who need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And if you hear one thing, students, if you hear one thing, you are never too young to make a difference. You are never too young to be that light to somebody who needs it. And teachers, I know that you know this. It's probably why you became a teacher. But don't forget when you walk in every day and you're thinking him again, that your all-important job is not just cramming all that knowledge in their heads. That's important. But maybe you can be the person who makes the difference in that student's life. I know there are many teachers who made a difference in my life. I won't forget them. And you have the chance to be that for somebody else. We are the plan. And so when I remember that and I think about that and I shift my focus, I find myself saying, help me, God, not to be so selfish or wrapped up in my own world that I let somebody else miss out on eternity. Help me, God, to love others enough to tell them the truth, even if it makes them uncomfortable for a minute, because it's about their eternity. Help me, God, to open my eyes to the opportunities all around me and to realize that these people are in my path for a reason. It didn't just happen. The Bible tells us that Jesus looked out on the crowds of people that he was ministering to and he loved them. And he felt compassion for them because they were helpless and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so his inclination was to love them and to give them this good news. Do you have that same urgency inside of you? Do you have that same love for people who need to hear? If it's grown cold, if you've lost it a little bit, take time today to pray that God would give it back to you, that God would fill us again with an urgency to tell others his message because we love them that much. If you want to look in your Bibles at Romans 10, 13 through 15, this is a verse that I remember as I was going into high school really stood out to me, really put a burden in my heart to share with other people and drove home the point that I am the messenger. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the good news, right? But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How can they hear if nobody is telling them? And believe it or not, you may have grown up in church, but there are people in this city who have never been. There are people in your classroom who have never been. And how can they hear if nobody's going to tell them? Now, I hope this morning that you don't feel down or beat up or guilty, like, whoa, they're really laying it on thick. I hope this morning that you feel like this is good news. Because to me, this is amazing news. God wants to use me. God wants to use you. And sometimes people wonder, what's the purpose? What's God's plan? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, I can tell you, part of God's plan for you, and that is for you to be the light, right, for you to be the messenger, for you right where you're at in this city, for you right where you're out in the town that you live or the work that you're at or the home that you're in, wherever you are at. God's plan for you is to share his message and to be the light. This is our mission field, you guys. We have missionaries who go all over the world, and that's wonderful, but we also have one right here in the city of Chillicothe. And God has put in our hearts such a desire that the lost would know him. And you guys are the messengers, and that's part of his plan for you.
So let's talk about practical things. Thank you. Yes, you can give her a hand. Practical ways, things we need to do in order to be the light. And if you want to take notes, I'm just going to give you four quick things and we'll be done. Normally these would be on the back of the bulletin, but we really liked the graphic that we found that we put on there just so you could see some of the statistics that we deal with in sharing the gospel or being the light. Four things we need in order to be the light. Number one is to identify the true source of light. To identify the true source of light. We already read this scripture, John chapter 1, verse 4. In him, being Christ, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. We know the source is Christ. He is the light. We are the bearer of that light. We talked about just a few weeks ago about this treasure in jars of clay. We're the clay, we're the pot, God is the treasure. But we are to be bearers of this life. And it is possible to bring attention to Christ through your life without bringing attention to yourself. Every day when I step on this stage and begin to sing or preach or whatever it is, my goal is that God would be glorified. That when you leave, you're not thinking, wow, that music was good, or, oh, was that good preaching? But that you would say, God was here. His presence did something in my life. That is the goal for every single day, not just when we're here on the stage, but when we walk through life, that God's presence would be known because he is the source. And it's through our actions, it's through our good deeds that people will see the light. Number two, understand the purpose of the light. And while you're writing that down, understand the purpose of the light. I want you to write down 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. And I'm going to read it, but I'll be honest, it's a mouthful. It's a lot to take in this short paragraph. So I encourage you to read this on your own. Look in the Message Bible if you have a moment. I wanted to pull it up and read it from that, but I want to stick to where I'm at in the NIV, but it explains it a little bit better in the Message if you need to understand it a little better. But I want you to hear what this says. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So we understand once again, the source of light is Christ. which is in the image of God. But verse 5 says, what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. See, what we preach, when we say preach, that doesn't mean that you're out saying, you need to get saved or you're going to hell. And you're telling everybody you know, if that's what you feel called to do, go for it. But I doubt it's going to happen that way. Your preaching is going to happen through kind words, through loving actions, through forgiveness, through humility. That's how we're going to preach Jesus Christ. And it says, ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness. There's that contrast of light and darkness. Made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. See, we understand the purpose of the light is for God to shine the light on us so that we can have that relationship with Him and have the intimacy with Him that we long to have. But out of that, we shine that on others, but we're not glorified. It says that God would be glorified, displayed in the face of Christ. That's the purpose of the light. And without that light, without God, Courtney used this earlier in the monologue she read. It said we're just existing. We don't even have life without the light that comes. And with that life comes opportunity. You know, I looked on Yellow Pages this week because I was curious. There are 31 churches in Chillicothe. 31 churches. That's great. Out of those 31 churches, though, there are lost souls in every single neighborhood. And I know not all of you are from Chillicothe, so we're not just focused on Chillicothe. We're focused on Brookfield. We're focused on Trenton. We're focused on Jamesport. Wherever you are from, you are that light. But out of those church buildings, including this one, are not going to get it done. It is up to us to be the church. Not just think of the building and say, if I can just get them here. You've got to be the church outside of this building and shining the light outside of this building. God, how many believe this? God is not finished on this earth. He is still the soon coming reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He needs us to be that light. And it is up to us to do so. God is not finished here. Number 3, develop a knowledge of the light. Develop a knowledge of the light. How can we ever explain it? It's kind of like Courtney talked about. We can certainly articulate about a restaurant, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. If it's a good movie, we come out of there, we've had a great experience in that movie, and because of that, man, we can tell everybody, hey, you've got to see this movie. The action is great. Or the love story was so good, and I just felt so good when I walked out of there because we had a good experience. And what we really want to say in this time, what you hear from churches all the time, is you need to spend time with God, you need to read your word, and you need to pray. And you hear those over and over, and you get beat up by those words, by hearing it over and over again. Really, the point of each one of those things, can I tell you the point? Is to have your own experience with God. Just like you would at a restaurant, just like you would at a movie, except it's a totally different experience. It's a supernatural experience that only God can give. And when you have experienced God in that way, the light can't help but shine. It will come bursting out of you. You will tell everyone you know about that experience. That's why we say, spend time with God. Read your word. Pray. Because you need that one-on-one experience that only you can create. I can't create it for you. It has to come from you seeking God. And as you do that, you will begin to share the knowledge that you gain from those experiences with Christ. Number 4, worship the Creator of the light. Now, I know the first thing we do in this moment is think of, we already did that, didn't we? Didn't we stand here and sing songs and raise our hand and worship God? Yes, we did. But this is a Romans 12:1 kind of worship. So if you're taking notes, worship the creator of the light and write down Romans 12:1. Because this is the type of worship we're talking about. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. How many of you have experienced God's mercy in your life? I said, how many of you have experienced God's mercy in your life? Amen. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Really, all we're doing is we're saying yes to God. We're just saying, God, whatever it is you ask me, I'll do it. If it's be the only light in a room that is completely dark, I'll be that light. I'll do what you call me to do. Whatever it is, the answer is yes. Students at school, whatever God asks you to do, the answer should be yes. You worship Him through your actions by saying, God, here is my body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. But adults, we're talking to you today too. In your job, do you know how hard it is sometimes to not say something back when someone said something rude to you? But that's being the sacrifice. That's worshiping God by keeping our mouth closed sometimes. How hard is it when someone else cuts us off and gets the promotion instead of us? And we could start talking about them to other people and say, can you believe what they did? By sacrificing, by stopping, that is us offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. It's not always easy. The purpose of this Friday night, the party in the park, is not to give us all something else to do. How many need something else to do? None of us. But we need you. Can I be honest with you? We need every single one of you. I don't care if the volunteer list in the back is every line is full of volunteers and we've got all the workers we need. That's great. We still need you. We need you in the park just walking around sharing the love of Jesus with anybody who walks in the park that night. Even if they go to church here, that's okay. You can still say, man, it's great to have you here. We're so glad you came. Thank you for helping. Thank you for serving hot dogs. Thank you for serving cotton candy. Thank you for running the bounce house. We are using this Friday night as an opportunity for us to share the love of Jesus with our community and spread a little light in some darkness. Can you say amen to that? That's the purpose of this. And we need every single one of you helping us. We're going to close out today a little different than normal. I'm going to invite every student, kindergarten to you know what, even through college. If you're going back to college, I want to invite you forward and we want to say a prayer over you today. We want to pray that God would use you to be the light in whatever school that you are involved in. No matter the community. What an amazing group of kids. Let's stand all over this place. And will you reach your hands to them as we pray? Heavenly Father, you have given us each one such a wonderful opportunity to spread your light. God, we understand what it is to have you in our hearts. We understand what it is to have your mercy and your grace in our life. We've experienced that. And Lord, I pray that you would use each one of these students. God, may they have opportunities to share. And when those opportunities come, God, that you would give them the right words to say, that you would give them the boldness to speak. Lord, to those who maybe don't know about you, Lord, it may be hard because they're worried. Will this person be my friend if I say too much? God, give them the courage to say what you've called them to say, to be what you've called them to be, and to do what you've called them to do. God, we pray for that opportunity, but also we pray, God, for awareness. For any student, as they're walking down the hall and someone's sad, someone's hurting, God, that they would be aware of those students and they would be willing to reach out to them and say, can I pray for you? Can I just offer you a kind word that it's going to be okay, that God knows you, God knows your heart, and they can begin to share that with that student. Help them, Father, throughout this year to spread the light. And God, I believe once again, just as we prayed for the teachers, we're going to see lives change because of these students in this room right now. May we not just shine the light in this room. God, it's bright in here and it looks good. But as we walk out of this place and we go into the dark places of this world, that you would use us to be the light. In Jesus' name, use us to be the light. We pray today and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace on each one of us. Thank you that you have called us. And God, we can do greater things than we even expect, greater things than we even imagine, because you are on our side, you have our back, and you are with us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise this morning. Students, you can, if you are anywhere from sixth grade on up, you can go back to your seats. And kindergarten through fifth grade, we're going to have a little fun as we close out the service. You guys, come on up here on the steps. Come on. We did a little practicing earlier, and we're going to close this thing out. You can remain standing because we're about done here. We're going to have a little fun with these students. They're going to help me sing this song, and I'm inviting all of you to help us sing, not just the kids, but all of us. We're going to sing this little light of mine. Are you ready? Here we go. This little light of mine.